Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Our Leading Edge. We are joined by a fantastic guest today, and we're going to be speaking about the topic of thriving with the right attitude. As all of you know, I live and breathe in the subject matter of behavior, and attitude is so pivotal to that conversation. So I'm very, very fortunate to be joined by a very busy man who has taken some time out of his schedule to spend some time with us. And before I bring him into the call, I just want to let all of you know who Kevin is and what he brings to the table, and then we could jump right into our conversation. So today I am fortunate enough to be joined by Kevin Knebel, and he is an executive coach, which is how I know Kevin, but he's also an international speaker, author, and trainer. And if you speak to any of his clients, whether it's a room full of hundreds or thousands of people or one individual, they will always speak to Kevin's ability to connect with all of them, with everyone in the room and everyone that he works with. He has a lovely blend of humor, personal development, inspiration, and along with his expertise, which is based on being a leading authority in social selling, relationship marketing, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So when I thought about bringing Kevin in, I was really, really excited, because if any of you have ever followed Kevin, and we'll be sure to tell you how to do that at the end of this call, he always has a high dose of positive attitude in everything that he does. And when he's looking to his clients, which includes small, medium, and Fortune 500 companies, he's always coming from this place of relationship. He's the co-author of The Social Media Sales Revolution, The New Rules for Finding Customers, Building Relationships, and Closing More Sales Through Online Networking. Kevin's also a contributing author of Learn Marketing with Social Media in 7 Days. And his background includes being a top salesperson in the world for an international consulting company with over 300 salespeople in 11 countries. So, Kevin, you know what you're talking about, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jenna. You are so kind. It is so wonderful to speak with you, and thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I've been a big fan of yours for some time, and any chance I get to speak with you live is a blessing to me, so thank you.
Blessing for both of us. We're both lucky today. So I want to dive right in with you, Kevin, here, and I really want to focus on this topic of attitude. You know, in my view, our attitude, it's a doorway for me. So our attitude really becomes a doorway in our life. And to be honest, the door is either open or it's firmly closed. It's something that maybe we're not thinking about enough. And maybe we are, however, we don't know how to get to the place of bringing the, for lack of a better word, I'll say appropriate or inspiring or whatever we're looking to do, that attitude to the place. And I'm a big believer that if, and anything that we want to do in life, if we are willing, we are then able. So I want to speak to you about attitude. And I know you are a master at having the right attitude in everything that you do. And I think I'm going to make an assumption that it's at the forefront for you at all times. So can you speak a little bit about that? On, you know, why is attitude important?
Thank you for asking. I think that your term doorway is actually a really, really good way. I've never heard it said that way before, but that makes a lot of sense. You're either opening the door or you're closing the door with your attitude. So we all, as you know, Jenna, because you have a deep, deep expertise and grounding in this, we're always projecting some form of an image. And I don't mean that in a manipulative, big brother thought police kind of way. Whether we know it or not, we are projecting our attitude to other people. And I tend to keep things very simple. So I'm a big fan of the KISS principle, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, sweetie. So whether we know it or not, we are making a first impression. And we're doing this online and offline. So I think it makes sense for people to understand that that old saying that we all know, all things being equal, people do business with and refer business to people who they know, like, and trust. Well, the easiest way to start a know, like, trust relationship is with a positive attitude. So I think attitude is critically important, and it's something that's teachable. It's because some people will say, well, you know, you were just born with that sunny disposition, or I'm just, you know, I was born under a dark cloud, and that's why I'm always grumpy. Well, I understand emotional intelligence, and I understand personality styles and all that, but anything we want to get better at, we typically can get better at if we study it. So I think attitude is critically important, really for anybody. Unless you're Tom Hanks living on an island somewhere with a volleyball named Wilson, you probably need to have a better attitude. And I'm not saying your attitude's bad to begin with, but we could all stand to be a little bit more pleasant to be around. Does that make – I feel like I'm kind of being a little bit vague, but does that make sense, Jenna?
No, absolutely. And what's popping up for me is – I think it was, it's an old Jim Carrey quote, but I believe it's Jim Carrey that said something to the frame of, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. And that's what I'm getting from you when you, when you're speaking to this. You know, so many times we as human beings, we try to control external variables. And we believe that we can have control over external variables, which is a whole other conversation. But what we, you know, there's that whole saying of, it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond to what happens to us that matters.
Right.
So trying
right.
to change those things we can't control, those external variables, versus understanding that we have control over our attitude.
Right.
And
I never heard that Jim Carrey quote before. I like that. I'm a big believer, and I love the fact that you use the word respond versus react.
Mm-hmm.
Because what most people say is, it's not what happens, it's how you react to it. No, it's actually how you respond to it. Because if I spit on you, I don't make you mad, I make you wet.
So, I love it.
So it doesn't necessarily mean we enjoy getting spit on, but we're not Pavlovian dogs, right? So mm-hmm. there's a gap. There's a gap between the moment the slight or the insult occurs and then our response to it. So, you know, what I used to do for a living many, many years ago was, I was a pianist in New York City, completely different line of work. And then I ended up marrying a woman who booked me to play piano at her wedding to another man, which is a story for another time.
And I've been
married to that same woman for 20 years, and we have 3 children, one of each, and life is great. So, but when I first got married, I got into sales because I realized that late nights and smoky bars wasn't going to cut it in the family life, which was completely outside of my comfort zone. I mean, a sex change would have been more in my comfort zone. So I get into sales, and I had some mentors early on who really instilled in me the fact that attitude and people skills are really the differentiators in the world of sales and business. So they directed me to a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, written back in the 30s, and your listeners have probably heard of that book before. And I didn't read that book. I studied that book. So I always tell my audiences, read street signs and read menus, but study books. Where I'm going with all this is, I read and reread and studied How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which, for people who have never read that, there's a common misperception that people say, oh, that title sounds very manipulative. Well, it's not about manipulation. It's about good, effective interpersonal skills. But I as I read that book over and over, and I continue to read it over and over all these years later, I realize it really comes down to attitude. It comes down to our attitude toward other people, and by extension, our attitude to ourselves. So I think when we take a servant's attitude and take a lighthearted approach and not be so heavy, and try to find the humor in different situations. I think that when the likelihood of people doing business together or just getting on well is really going to come down to how they feel around us. So I'm a big believer that there's clues in feeling. So I guess part of what I try to do when I work with people or I interact with people, whether live in person or through the internet or whatever I'm doing, I always want to make people feel a little bit better about themselves, but I don't do it in a brown-nosing, sucking-up kind of way. Did that make any sense?
It absolutely does, and I think this is great advice and thought for anyone. It doesn't matter what you're doing for a role or where you currently find yourself. I'm a big proponent of it. It doesn't matter where you are becoming something better at all times. And if we know that, and that's different than thinking that and believing that, knowing is that next level, then we can perhaps let go of some of the spider web or the things that hold us in this place of how we're being. So we're always being the same kind of person because it's our personality and it's who we are, and it's uncomfortable to push out of the box. When we can think bigger than that, which is what I'm hearing from you, then we are then able to act differently. And I love that you brought in emotions. I do a lot of work around neuroscience and the connection between brain and body. And physiologically speaking, an attitude is just a group of thoughts and feelings that are clustered together in a habitual sequence. So all that means is the thoughts and feelings that we've had over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And when we stay in that place and we continue to have those thoughts and feelings over and over and over again, it becomes our state of being. It's who we are. It's how we go, going back to the comment you made about projection, right? That's what we start to project out because it's what we believe and who we believe we are. So when we learn information like what you're sharing here and we're discussing, it's so valuable to understand that you are the cause in your life and your life is the effect. And I love that we're talking about, well, what does attitude have to do with that? And what's the connection between our attitude and the impact that we have on others? So can you dive a little deeper in that for me about what is the connection between our attitude and the impact that we have on others?
I could just sit and listen to you all day long. you are so cool. I'm serious. You say a lot. I mean, there is deep wisdom in the things that you're talking about. So thank you for that. I'm gonna make a comment to your question and tell me if I'm kind of answering what you said. You and I and everybody that's listening to us right now, we all know people who are subject matter experts in whatever their chosen discipline or profession is. But we know some of those people that although they may be subject matter experts and they may be 10th level ninja sensei, wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi, you know, masters of time, space, and dimension in their chosen field, if we see them coming down the hall toward us, we'll jump in the bathroom. So my point is that in a more and more interconnected, over-caffeinated, hyper-competitive world where we're really only limited by our imagination because nowadays we're all kind of interconnected in all kinds of different ways, it doesn't serve a person well to have a crappy attitude because there's too many options out there. So a lot of times I'll meet people who are really great technically at their chosen profession, but they just have the attitude of a root canal or a speed bump. And I don't criticize them and say, hey, you're a jerk, but I ask them some probing questions about, tell me about, you know, how things are working with you in your professional life or in your personal life. And inevitably we get to the fact that they're stalling out at some level, but it's not because of their technical ability. It's almost always a result of their interpersonal or lack of interpersonal relationships. And that almost always comes down to attitude. So I think that the differentiator between anybody and anybody else in their field or in their realm, it's not going to come down to technical expertise, because that's just too easy to acquire nowadays with the, such things as the internet. It's not hard to find technical expertise on anything. If you want to do quantum physics, just do a Google search. You'll find a whole bunch of quantum physicians. The differentiator is almost always, if not always, going to come down to the attitude, which comes down to, do people like being around you? I know this sounds overly simplistic, but I don't think it's all that complicated. Do people like being around us? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to alter your personality or become something that you're not. You know, play to your strengths, but realize the differentiator is going to be it's going to be the people skills. And can I make one more quick comment on that, Jenna?
Yes, please.
I made the comment earlier in our conversation that this is all teachable, well, and all learnable. And, you know, this is a skill. So when I mentioned that I read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, in that book, there are 30 chapters in that book. The book is broken into 3 or 4 different sections. Every chapter in that book is summarized in one sentence. So the first 3 chapters fall under the heading Fundamental Techniques in Handling People. The end of the first chapter summary is Don't Criticize, Condemn, or Complain. The second chapter is, so every single morning when I get up, and you can file this under the TMI for too much information. every morning for over 25 years, every morning, no matter where in the world I am, when I get up in the morning and I jump in the shower, I am butt naked in the shower, lathering up my soap and my shampoo, and I am out loud from memory reciting those 30 chapter, one sentence summaries. Now, I'm not trying to impress your listeners that, oh, wow, he must have a photographic memory. Far from it. But if all you did was just repeat once a day, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. And you did that for a couple weeks, you'd probably kind of remember it. And then if you added the second one, you know, give honest and sincere appreciation. Give honest and sincere appreciation. Give honest and sincere. After a while, it might take you a couple weeks. It might take you a couple years. But after a while, you kind of get those things ingrained in your brain. So the reason I'm bringing this into the conversation is because every morning when I jump out of bed, I know that my success that day is going to be primarily contingent on my ability to connect with other human beings. And that is dictated by my attitude. So I choose my attitude when I jump out of bed and I jump in the shower, because I right out of the gate, I want to start making sure that I am focusing on a good attitude, adding value to other people, being a pleasure to be around, and small efforts over time produce massive results. So if all somebody did was just repeat over and over, don't criticize, condemn, or complain, don't criticize, condemn, or complain, they would probably see a profound impact in their relationships long term. Does that kind of, yeah, does that add any value to the conversation?
It adds a great deal of value. And I'm gonna approach what you said from a behavior side. So I'm going to take the first part that you spoke about, which is that lack of interpersonal attitude. And what I know about individuals that do struggle with this, and they do have, working with people is a struggle for them, and it's something that either they're choosing to work on or it's not. Mm-hmm. Anybody that I've come across in my experience that has that lack of interpersonal attitude, they actually need more control. So the behavior becomes more controlling, more condemning, more judgmental. And the reason they're doing that is because they have a need, which is to connect or relate, mm-hmm, yet they're holding this barrier between them and others, so they're not allowing it. So then they believe that they're relating by being in control. And mm-hmm, and so when I look at what you're saying, when I get past the image of you butt naked in the shower, which I can do.
Sorry.
It's all good. Behaviorally, and the connection for me there is the simple action that you're speaking about, and I am also, keep it simple. I do not agree with speaking above or over or through people. We want to speak in a way that people can logically understand, and that's part of what I love about you. When we can do an action, get up in the morning, get in the shower, and recite something that is meaningful to us and it will set our day up for what we're looking at, we're then taking back choice. You know, all day long we have stimulus coming at us. And all day long we make responses to it. And you're probably very familiar with the idea of stimulus and response, and the whole goal is to create more space between stimulus and response, because the space between stimulus and response is choice. So what I'm hearing you say to me and our viewers is that you're making a choice to set your day up to be the most valuable day, both for yourself and others. And biologically, that will actually change you physically. It changes you mentally and it changes your body. And that's, you know, I do a lot of work around that. Individuals can listen to other shows to learn more about that. But it's so proactive. And when we can enter life proactively, it really is a game changer.
It has been for me. It really has. I'm going to take what you just said and I'm going to convert it to Kev speak with just one sentence. Mm-hmm. Every morning I wake up, I choose my attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm choosing my attitude. That doesn't mean I don't have crap in my life. It doesn't mean I don't have things that happen that, you know, I've got all the normal stuff that everybody else has in their life. I don't live this, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I just choose. I love how you talk about you said that there was, I forget what the word you used, but between the stimulus and the response, I referred to it earlier as a gap. Mm-hmm. And you said that distance is choice. So, I think I've kind of trained myself also in almost every situation to, no matter what's happening, good or bad, always ask myself, what can I learn here? What can I learn? You know, when the duty hits the fan, doesn't mean I like it, but I'm conscious enough to ask myself, okay, I'm not enjoying this, but what can I learn here? How can I take this experience and convert it to something that will add value to me and to other people? So maybe that is that thing you were talking about called choice. I'm conscious and I'm awake enough. I'm conscious enough to say, I can choose my response to this situation. And of course, I'm human just like everybody else that's listening to this. There are times that I drop the ball terribly, but my experience over the years is that I pick the ball up much faster. I catch myself much, much faster than I did when I was much younger. Now I catch myself very quickly. I'll say something and I go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just, and I'll apologize faster. I'm a big fan of the word sorry. I use that word a lot. This is a really, really fun conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, and I, you know, when the doo doo hits the fan, duck and weave well and learn something.
right, exactly. You know,
what comes up for me when you're speaking is one of your quotes. That's your positive attitude may also be used as a flotation device. Can you speak a little bit about what you meant by that?
That is one of my lines. That is. Because I'm kind of making a play on words on the whole airplane thing, right? Your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. So, yes, your positive attitude may be used as a flotation device. So when the duty hits the fan, what are you going to do? You're either going to crumble, you're going to freak out, you're going to go nuclear. You know, what are you going to do? And that's when you have to ask you know, it's real easy to be positive when everything's going your way, right? That's, I can say, you know, I tell people, if you're only positive when things are going your way, that doesn't count. Okay? Because the real time that it comes to the forefront is when things are not going your way. To use your word from earlier, how do you respond to that? So I kind of look at attitude training kind of similar to physical training. You know, if you do a couple of push-ups every day, you don't have to do 1,000. If you just do 2 or 3 push-ups a day, your body has an intelligence. Our bodies have an innate intelligence that we have no control over. You cut your finger, you don't have to think about, oh, I need to really think about healing. No, the body kind of does it. So anything that we practice and we do repeatedly, we're just going to get better at. So if we focus on our attitude on a daily basis, on trying to improve our attitude, just like we could try to improve our physical health. If we focused a little bit of effort every day on how can I improve my attitude? How can I focus on something positive? How can I deflect potentially nuclear situations in my relationships? How can I walk away? How can I remember that when I get spit on, I'm not getting mad, I'm getting wet? If we can focus on that and be conscious of it, we'll start to widen that gap that you refer to as choice. You're absolutely correct. So I think that part of it is just choosing to work on our attitude the same way that we would work on reducing the size of our waist, or the same way we would work on toning our arms or our legs by working out. I think we need to take kind of a physical approach to attitude, just like we would with exercise or diet. I think it's a conscious decision. Yeah,
it is a conscious decision, and it's a conscious decision with very real effect. When I think about taking those steps you just spoke about, the effect that can have on us, you know, our personality is made up of how we think, act, and feel. So if we are changing, if we make the choice to have an impact for ourselves on one of those components, we will naturally change our personality, which our personality is really our personal reality, what our life looks like. So by making the choice to have that positive impact by choosing the attitude you wish, then you are changing yourself. And a lot of people, the word change is uncomfortable. However, I'm a big proponent of change, right? If something's not working, let's do something about it and not spend so much time talking about it, but actually taking some steps. So I love that you've shared with the audience real ideas and concepts and actions that they can take and implement and put into place if they so choose. So, Kev, as we wrap this up, can you just share a couple of minutes on how did attitude affect where you currently are?
How does attitude affect where I currently am? What I do for a living, as you mentioned in the beginning, is I'm an international speaker, author, trainer, and coach. Sometimes in the moment, it's hard to see how things are affecting us because, you know, it's kind of like gaining weight and losing hair. You don't notice it day to day. And then all of a sudden, one day you look in the mirror and you go, Dad or Mom, right? So, but now that I've been doing this kind of work for a number of years, I have a little bit of hindsight where I can look back and I can see other people that do similar type work to the work that I do. And I can see where, from a technical perspective, maybe our skill sets are pretty similar. I'm not much better than they are. They're not much better than me. We're all pretty much in the same area. But if I look at the results that I'm getting with my clients, and if I look at the number of requests I get to do speaking and training and the kind of things that I do versus what a lot of these other people are doing, I see a lot of people that are really struggling to find engagements, to find clients, to do the kind of things that we do. And I can't keep up with the demand. And I don't say that from a cocky or arrogant perspective. I say it because I really believe it's not my technical expertise that's keeping me so in demand, because I'm no better than most of these other people. It's not my eloquence on stage. I'm not getting up there and doing Hamlet, right? It's if I were to look back at this, and I look at it all the time, it really comes down to my attitude, because the feedback I get from people is, it's just a pleasure to work with you. And you know, if somebody's listening with tape on their glasses and a pocket protector and they're really analytical and they're trying to, you know, take that apart, don't overthink it. The answer is right there. It's just a pleasure to work with you, Kev. So I'm not that bright. I'm a couple fries short of a Happy Meal. What I'm constantly asking myself is, how can I be even more of a pleasure to work with? Because I see a direct correlation between being pleasurable to work with and no lack of work, industry, clients, whatever. It's no accident that when you're a pleasure to work with and you combine that with good to better than good skills in your chosen profession, you are always going to come out better than the person that might have the technical skills in their profession, but they're not necessarily a pleasure to work with. I hope I, in some way, kind of in a roundabout way, answered what you asked, Jenna.
Oh, absolutely you did. And Kevin, you are a pleasure to work with. And I am so fortunate that you came on the show today and you're spending this half an hour with me. I feel deep gratitude for you. So thank you for that. And thank you for sharing
your
wisdom. Before we close, I'd like for you to share how individuals can get a hold of you, follow you, find interest in you. How can they get a hold of you?
Thanks for asking, Jenna. I came out of the Witness Relocation Program a long time ago. So if people go on Google and they type in Kevin Knebel, Knebel is five letters, K-N-E-B-L. Could I please buy another vowel? If they either Google my name or they type my name into Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, they're probably going to find me. I'm all about, my business is really, I'm in the business of creating, nurturing, deepening relationships. That's what I do for a living. So some people think, oh, he's a social media guy or he's this or he's that. No, actually, I'm in the relationship business. So if, for anybody listening right now, you know, I don't have an agenda. My only agenda is to add as much value to you as I can, and that will go wherever it should or shouldn't go. So if you'd like to connect with me or sign up for my newsletter or join my 24/7, 365 Facebook cocktail party or connect with me on LinkedIn, if you're a friend of Jenna's, you're a friend of mine. So yeah. I'm extending my hand in friendship and saying, if you'd like to be friends, great. And if there's ever any way I could serve you, I would challenge you to take me up on it. And I would love to prove to you that I'm all about adding value to your life in whatever way that shows up. And Jenna, I just want to say thank you to you for all the value that you bring to the executive coaches that you train, the executive coaches that you, your executive coaching clients that you work with individually, organizationally. You bring so much value to the world. So thank you for all that you do. You are truly a blessing, not only to me, but to tons and tons of other people. So I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So thank all of you for listening to Kevin and myself today. Please join me next time, and I'm going to be joined by Michelle Bursell, and we're going to be discussing the importance of small opportunities, even when you miss them. All right, everyone, have a great rest of your day, and please join me next time. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.